My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Paul Harvey, and thanks for taking the time to be with me today. As I record this, we are at the back end of August 2018, and Scotland has returned to normal summer. And even now, there is an autumnal feel to the air. I'm certainly missing the sunshine and back in my long sleeve shirts, but it does not dampen the passion and drive for this project. So, what's been happening on the project? Well, I had a fantastic conversation this week with Anne Clark. She has a lovely Irish voice, and you can get lost in. And we did get lost and spoke for an hour and 15 minutes. That will definitely require a bit of editing. In other news, the launch of the 5-day challenge with Lisa and I has been put back. We've put our plans back a little bit because Lisa and I have been thinking about the challenge and we want to make it really powerful. So let me explain. Try this test and you may need to pause the podcast to do this. So think about where you are now in business, life and work. Now imagine where you want to be. Is there a difference? You see, the 5-day challenge will help you create a vision of where you would like to be. Now, if your views or life were the same, then that is fine. But if there's a gap, how do you bridge that gap? Now, there's another issue with this, and this is where we've kind of been thinking about it. Because how do you know what you want is real? You know, is it what you really want, or is it what you think you want? Now, this challenge will sort out the good stuff from the crap. Because one of the things about our lives is that it's very easy to pick up other people's stuff and assume that is what we want. The tools in this challenge will create a vision from who you are rather than who you think you should be. Anyway, that's what's coming, and I will let you know more about that as we develop it. The project is just taking a little longer than we thought, so I apologise if you've been waiting for it. So on with today's programme. So I'm really excited about this programme because it was such a fantastic conversation. And yes, I know all my conversations are fantastic, but this was unique for me in that these guys are blood brothers and they live at opposite sides of the US. I've never done a conversation or a podcast of two people. It did raise a really interesting dynamic for me. But listening to Ilian and Guy Ferdman talk about their lives and their business, they are right out there at the cutting edge of human endeavour. They work with high-end entrepreneurs, people who've made their money and are shocked to discover that the answers they're looking for are just not there. Now, the brothers walk their talk. They spent 15 years and over $1 million in experiences that enhance and expand the mind. With all that time and money, they discovered that the heart is your life's true master. And they demonstrate how living a heart-centered life can radically change how you achieve goals faster than ever with the least amount of work. This work they do is dedicated to the awakening of people to live out their lives as their own personal legend. So this journey, like all journeys, is an interesting story and they are still exploring. So I hope you enjoy the conversation with Guy and Ilian Ferdman. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And I am delighted today. This is a first for Life, Passion and Business. I have two guests simultaneously and they tell me that it's one brain and two bodies. So I guess we will find out. I am with Ilian Ferdman and Guy Ferdman. I am so delighted that you guys are here. Now, you guys are all about passion. Well, that's what we're about here. And I want to hear more about this. So tell me, guys, How did you get to where you are now? What was the journey? And I appreciate we haven't got a reasonable amount of time, so I'm sure the edited highlights. Who's going to go first on this one?
Bro, you want to go first?
Or are you going to try that's and talk
a big,
together?
That's a big question. The only thing I was going to say is I'm delighted that he has such a beautiful accent. I want to steal it, and I want his radio voice immediately. And now you go ahead and tell the rest of the story now.
So passion. Interesting. Well, let me just give you guys a little bit of background on our story. So we are, in fact, brothers, blood brothers, not just the way the cool people say it. Born to the same parents, grew up together, actually loved each other, you know, which is rare, I think, for brothers as we grew up. We were really, really close and worked together for a good portion of years. I brought Guy into a commercial finance real estate investment firm that I'd helped build. And in 2010, we lost everything. And luckily for us, in 2003, we actually started our personal development journey. And so one of the things that we really fell in love with was coaching and making a difference for people and human beings and transformation of the planet. So when we lost everything in 2010, and we're in dire straits, like, I mean, everything, as in my brother sold his car and moved in with my parents, my house was being foreclosed on, and I was living on unemployment checks. We had both decided that we were going to start this business because transformation of the planet was something that we were deeply, deeply passionate about and felt like we were put on this earth to do. So in
small goals, nothing too big.
Yeah, small goals. In the time that, you know, we needed money more than ever, we decided it would be really, really smart to start a business, which, by the way, I don't recommend for people to do. But what was really beautiful is, you know, starting a business and becoming an entrepreneur is an incredible incubator for a personal development journey.
Yes.
And there are fewer things in life, I believe, that will put you on that path faster. Aside from, you know, maybe getting sick or like some sort of crazy event happening in your life, I think entrepreneurship is probably one of the greatest catalysts for people waking up. And ever since then, we started this in 2011. We've gone on some crazy journeys from training people on marketing. We had a digital marketing agency for a while that we were partnered on. We did masterminds around Facebook marketing. We launched so many products on email marketing and Facebook marketing and everything that you can imagine. And then in 2016, we began the pivot. And in 2017, we completed that pivot of outsourcing or removing anything that had to do with digital marketing or internet marketing and fully focused on what it is that we believe we were put on this earth to do, which is to help people live lives that have it all, you know, the body that they want, the relationships that are just sexy and amazing, money in their bank account, peace, freedom in their bodies, things like that.
Wow, that's some transformation. Because I remember you guys, I remember Satori Prime when you first started the internet marketing company, because I that was kind of the beginning of my journey as well.
How was it?
And I may even bought some of your products, you know, in 2011.
How was that, Paul? Where do you know us from?
Well, that was for me from Facebook marketing, I think. Probably
okay, 2011, gotcha.
That sort of time. So it's interesting how, you know, so many years on, we're now having this conversation.
Well, you know what's funny, right? Like we knew going into online marketing that really what we wanted to do was serve people. I think it's a pretty good job you give yourself when your job is to make sure other people's lives are awesome. I'll sign up for that any day of the week. I think even more altruistically, we really do believe that we're in a time period right now where there can be influences from all sorts of thought leaders to really, I don't want to say push, but progress the evolution of the human mind, spirit, soul, understanding to a way that can really move the world towards a place of, you know, call it the altruistic unification, wholeness, whatever. But if at the end of the day, if for the next 20, 30 years, we can increase communication on our planet, I think that would be a huge win from where we are today. Regardless, when we got online, or I should say regardless, like we shouldn't regard that because we should regard that. when we got online, like Elon said, we were in a situation where you know, like most people, we were at the effect of the financial crisis. It affected us very hard. We were looking to do something else, and we wanted to do something that we could legitimately look at investing the rest of our lives in. I think that had a legacy aspect to it, that had a timeless aspect to it. Internet marketing was a means to understanding of how do you communicate with people all over the planet effectively. So we kind of got steeped in that world. I think we enjoyed the psychological aspects of marketing. And certainly, I think always in the background was this, because what people probably don't know is as we sold online marketing products and as we worked with entrepreneurs, behind those scenes, we were like the internet marketers that were still working with people and developing them and doing this kind of personal spiritual development work with them. And where we kind of had to really get real with ourselves was, hey, it's cool that the world knows us as an online marketing entrepreneurship development company that's also good at this personal development stuff. And we really wanted to flip the script and say, no, you know, we enjoy the marketing and this is who we really are. This is what's in our heart. And the last two and a half years really has been a rediscovery for us and how we want to do it. And I know like head over heels doing this is way more enjoyable for us than anything we were doing before.
So is there a modality that you use? Because there's a lot of personal development out in the world and a lot of it, some of it's online and some of it's face-to-face. So is there a kind of, what modality are you using?
Well, I'll just say like we don't derive any single school. You know, you have like these NLP practitioners with their cute certificates and you have these kind of people.
You don't hold them in high regard then.
No. It's not that I don't hold, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to like degrade that. So I apologize if anybody listening that put it that means like, what I mean is that there are so many schools that we've learned to adopt from a little bit of everything. Like it's funny, recently that question's come up a lot and I'm like, I actually don't have a name for my modality. So the way I like to describe Elon and I is imagine that you went and learned to master, you know, 5 or 6 different dances. And when some person came to you and said, hey, I want to learn how to dance too, the way you dance. And you're like, okay, well, which of these dances do you want to learn? And they're like this, this, and this, and this. But you kind of learn about them and you kind of learn about, you know, what's important to them and how they move and all this kind of stuff in the world. And you, if you're a great dancer, you're going to take somebody who's a new dancer and you're going to make them a lot better, a lot quicker, right? Because there's all these nuances mm-hmm. that you've learned. So I think more important than what is it that Elon and I have gone through is 16 years of personal direct experiences, which I think is really different than having reading a book or having an intellectual experience. Like we've lived this work. We've taught these kind of things for a really long period of time. And our strategies, quote unquote, I defer to call it that. I don't enjoy calling it that, to be honest, are really anything from neuroscience to linguistics to all sorts of methodologies of how to, you know, create a de-story and create new stories to really doing plant medicine work, understanding how the energy field of the body works, deep meditation work. So it's like all these different things that we have kind of become like the amalgamation of, and we just bring them all together. And in a conversation with us, depending on where you are, we are just really good at seeing what's going to give you the most value right now versus like, here's my methodology, follow it.
You got them by experience, them yourself?
Yeah. Personal experience. I mean, between Elon and I would say, man, I would say close to $1 million of education and personal development, you know, The last 5 years have been traveling the world, working with shamans and understanding plant medicine work, working with people who can literally show you how to understand the energy field of your body, how to control it, move it, how to use that for healing. So, you know, a lot of different modalities for sure.
Yeah. So now I know where the comment comes with their little certificates, because people can practice NLP after a weekend, can't they? So, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's where that little like anguish was coming from. Somebody on Instagram hit me up the other day and said, hey, I'm a new coach. What do you think I should do? And they're like, well, I'm going to go get my NLP certification. I'm like, that's great. I'm not putting that down. And if after a weekend, you think you're prepared to go work with people, you know, that to me is where that dissonance is. It's like an as lived first person experience where you have an emotional connection where you can say, hey, I've produced this thing in my life because I'm living it, is really different than going to, you know, a class and saying I'm ready. Yeah.
You got to do your 10,000 hours.
For sure. For sure. In my opinion. And again, I'm super happy to see that we're moving to this economy where people are interested in this, and that it just tells me people want to grow and they want to help other people. That's a huge transition from where we were 23 years ago. And that's something to be proud of and celebrate and really get behind. So I'm certainly not putting it down. And look, there's people to serve at every single level, and there's preferences in how people deliver work and what their energy is. So like, I'm all for it. Like, bring it on.
So is this a workshop type thing, a physical thing, or is this online?
We do everything. So we've done everything from live events to we have pre-recorded products that people can go through, like in-home courses. We have group coachings that we do live. We have one-on-one coachings that we do live. We have VIP days. It kind of depends where the person is in their personal journey and what it is that they're up to in life. And then we have different programs for those different people.
It's quite hard for some people to get to grips with this. I mean, this is conservative Scotland I'm talking from, who are not used to kind of some of these things. This is a London thing for some of them around here. So
certainly.
So, what actually is it? What do you do for someone? How does like someone walking in to meet you for the first time? What are they going to experience?
Broski,
you want to go? Okay.
No, you go ahead.
Someone's like this. I think in general, when someone's seeking coaching, it's very simple. You're at point A in your life. You want to be at point B in your life. When you're seeking a coach, it's generally because the things you have tried to get you from point A to point B have not worked. Or maybe they haven't worked at the pace that you want them to work. So I don't believe that there are shortcuts for human beings. I think we all have our journey and we all have the experiences that we get to go through to learn certain lessons. I do, however, believe that there are far more direct paths to get from A to B. How quickly you want to get from A to B is how much someone is willing to invest, basically. And that is true for anything. You know, whether you want to lose weight, right? If you're okay with losing weight over the next 5 years, you're going to go about it a certain way. If you want to lose weight and be beach ready in the next 3 months, you're going to have to go about things a little bit differently, right? So I think the first thing to understand is where people are at when they come to work with a coach. And generally, it's because they want to either enhance or up-level a certain area of their life, or it could be that they're just kind of frustrated or upset or resigned to a certain area of life. And something's occurring in their life, you know, where their life is expanding, for example, and the things that got them to this point, they realize are not going to get them to where they wanted to go. So with that, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out what is A and what is B, and then working with them to bridge that gap. Generally, the reason people have the life they have is because they have a certain perspective on how their life is, how they are, what they believe they are worthy of and not worthy of. And a lot of that stuff is completely hidden from their view. So they could be out there hustling and working their little asses off and producing very little results. Or once they understand what is the thing that's self-sabotaging them, or the theories and beliefs that they have about themselves, about their business, about what they're capable of or not capable of, once you start to see that those are the things that are actually holding you back from producing the results that you want, then you get really interested on how to upgrade those. And that's where we really go to work with people. It's like, how do you uncover what are the things that are having your life right now look exactly the way it is? You've designed it. Once you get responsible for the fact that I've designed my life and my life looks exactly how it is, you might not like what you got, but you can at least get responsible for the fact that you're the one that created it. Then if there's something else that you want, you get to get responsible about that too, which is, hey, so what I have right now, while yes, maybe I can have some appreciation for it, it's not really what I desire. So A, what's in the way of me truly creating the life that I want? And B, how do I upgrade those programs? It's like an operating system that's running in the background to actually create the life that I truly want. And that's where we go to work with people.
That That's the hard bit, because people are where they are because of the patterns they're set in. Breaking those patterns that have been there for a few years is not a 5-minute job, unless you're going to tell me it is.
It's not. It's certainly not, right? And that's why, for me, it's like a single methodology for any person makes as much sense as a single diagnosis for all of humanity for a virus. Yeah. And that's why I say it's a little bit of a dance, because it really is... look, we're all at the effect of our prejudices and biases and attachments and things that we believe are right and are like not just right, but we're like, we have an assurance, like life has taught us that that's right. And someone coming saying like, hey, by the way, that might not be true. It doesn't really work. But there are ways to navigate the mind that make it, and I want to say this in a really like loving way, but like impressionable to new ideas. Okay. So like meditation, for instance, is really a means to self-hypnosis. But when you look at what's happening inside the body, like if anybody's really experienced deep meditative work, and when I mean deep meditative work, I mean like you've invested days and days in like silence and you just sat there and you just kind of saw what happens when you sit in silence. Your average person just avoids anything that looks like silence, right? Because the moment they're silenced, they just have you naturally start dealing with your inner shit. That's kind of how it goes. But when you do that, and we sit in silence for a long time, you start realizing that well before you ever had this thing that you called an emotion or a feeling, which by the way is driving your thoughts and is driving your actions, there's this little thing that happens in the body that we could call a sensation. Okay. And this sensation is like the root of pretty much everything that you operate in life. And there are absolutely ways to, first of all, for us, it's always like, let's unlock the brain. Let's empower people to understand what their mind is doing. And it's, and everything we teach is not to like vilify, hey, like what you're doing is wrong. No, it's like, hey, let's understand why you're motivated by this aspect, by this phenomenon of yourself. Then let's look at where it operates properly, what it's doing for you, and also where its limitations are. Would you agree that this thing has a specific limitation? Yes. Great. Okay. Well, do you want to explore what happens when you go beyond that limitation and what other modalities you could be tapping into to unlock potential that's, you know, hidden deep inside of you, right? So once you move past the brain, you can get access to the body. And for me, if you don't have body accessibility, then you don't have access to the subconscious part of you, because the only way to access subconscious is through feeling. You're not gonna understand your subconscious. You're not gonna read a book and get so intelligent. And you're like, now I got control over my subconscious. You like, it's not gonna happen. So you know, again, it depends on where people are, how open they are, and then where you can take them. And really, it's just pointing at things. People think that they need to learn something. There's nothing you're learning. Elon and I call it. It's a remembrance process. You're remembering what you forgot. It's almost like you put your keys down, you know, somewhere, and then you forgot your keys, and then you're just like, oh yeah, my keys are right there. And the moment you have your keys again, it gives you access to driving your car and doing all these things. And it's like, you know, no one's teaching. A good teacher just shows you where to look. They don't tell you what to see. What Elon and I are really good at is knowing when to point and when and at what, so that the person can discover their own truth.
Wow. So this sounds like a really magical thing you do, guys. And I guess, in there, you know, it sounds very beautiful, but I'm guessing in there, there's some shit to be dealt with while you're doing this. This can get ugly in places.
Not necessarily that it gets ugly. It's just that uncovering certain aspects of you.
You're going to uncover people's pain. That's what you are uncovering. It's beautiful to see them go through it, but again, it's hard.
You know what? For some people, it's not. It's like I was saying this. We were interviewed earlier on another podcast. You know, if we looked at a person who is 150 pounds and a person who is 300 pounds, and we told each of them, okay, you know, go do a push-up, then you and I have predisposed judgments about who that's going to be a lot harder for, right?
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case for them. A lot of your hard is based solely on the perceptions that you have in life. And the reason, you know, like people like, oh, relationships are hard. Oh, starting a business is hard. Oh, making money is hard. You know, if that's what you believe, that, yeah, that's exactly how your life is going to show up, because your life has to show up to make your beliefs and theories about life right. That's just what happens. So when you go through this process, you know, for a lot of people, especially people that work with us, I don't know that they would necessarily say it's hard. I would say that, you know, there are things that maybe for a long time they didn't want to see in themselves. I think that's a very accurate statement. Mm-hmm. I think you only get to see in yourself that which you are ready to see at any given moment. And so as you start to like uncover different layers of how you operate, you just get access to your operating system. So, you know, if your phone, if one of the apps on your phone was designed to find a parking spot and it no longer worked for you, then why would you keep using that app? But there are plenty of things in your life that like, you know, relationships don't work for you, but you keep going to the same app.
Absolutely. That's a good one. That's a nice analogy.
And then you go to your friends and you're like, hey friend, you know, what do you do? And just because everyone's using that same app doesn't make the app good. You know, it just means that everyone's resigned to like, this is what we're going to use. There are much better apps. And when you can first uncover the ones that aren't working for you and then program in new ones that actually can design the life that you want for you, it's not so much painful. It's just, are you willing to be in that inquiry?
It's interesting you point that one out. I can remember, I've got, my son's now 16, so I can remember dealing with some of the early tantrums as a child. And I can remember, my wife said to me, why don't you change your attitude and how you deal with that, because the way you're going always seems to create the same result, you know. And I was always going in heavy with this result, trying it, and it was, she was absolutely right. I was like, I had this picture where I wanted it to go and it would never get to that picture until I changed the approach. And I can't think of the exact model, but it just reminded me of that with myself. So it's interesting you say that. So look, I think this is fantastic, but I want to go back just a little bit, because this is life, passion and business. And what I want to talk about really at this point now is this bit about passion for you, because there was a time when both of you were obviously in pain and struggling. So how did you keep or maintain your passion at that point?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I don't want to answer it from logic right away. So give me like a second to just sit with that so I can give you the real. I think for me, passion is an interesting thing. I don't believe most people have even given themselves enough space to ever really go for it and pursue it. I'll give you an example. To me, you know what had to leave right away? It had to not be about money. Elon and I stopped goal setting, which I know is asked backwards from what everybody teaches. We realized ultimately that there is a way that we want to feel more important than what the end results are. Then we looked at, from how we feel, what creates that feeling the most. And what creates that feeling the most is being acknowledged for our work. Like when someone sends us an email and says that their relationship with their mother is healed, or that they're suddenly making a lot of money, or they've just lost a lot of weight. And, you know, it's something that shifted inside of them, like your approach with your son, that suddenly made something new possible. And then there's like an effortlessness to it because the paradigm has shifted. And that gets us really excited. So our measure is people, is acknowledgements in our company more than it is money. And a byproduct of those acknowledgements just happens to be a good amount of money. So just going back to the beginning of all this, when we didn't have a lot of money, when I got the business going, one of the things that I've learned about taking action over my life is that urgency is the only thing that beats procrastination. So if you don't have a sense of urgency, you're not going to do shit. And then, you know, a lot of times people will see opportunities in front of them and they'll say, well, I don't really have the time or the money to do that. And for me, usually when someone says that, it's reasoning that's been uninvestigated, because that's the knee-jerk reaction that society has told you to say when you don't want to really look at why you don't want that thing, or if you want it, why you won't allow yourself to ponder why you can have it. So if you have urgency, which is certainly what I had, it was an urgency to transform people's lives. And I got started in the internet marketing game, as you remember, and I saw a lot of people sitting on the sidelines, kind of like trying to gather all the right information And when they gathered all the right information, then they would finally take that action, but they would never get to a point where they gathered enough information. I was just doing things. And one of the things that I did was I had $400 in the bank when I got started, cash. I did have 8 credit cards, and those credit cards had about $40,000 of credit on them. And I thought to myself, this is my education money. This is how I'm going to figure out this entrepreneurship marketing thing. And the other thing I knew is that putting myself in that amount of debt gave me or took away my ability to have an out. So most people have their passion and their plan, but they have their plan B, right? What was that old thing? Like, you want to take the island, burn the boats, or whatever that story goes. So for me, that was my burn the boats moment. I realized I'm going to put myself in all this debt. This is my investment in myself. And there's no job that I can go get started at right now that's going to pay off this debt in a timely manner. So I better figure this shit out. And that did something, because I like painted myself in the corner, but not in a stressful way. It lit me up, and it had me wake up every morning. I can honestly say this, and I hope your listeners believe it, and I'm going to deliver it the best I can, is that there's 7.5 years. I've never woken up on a Monday with regret. I've never woken up and said to myself, fuck, I have to work today. Every single day I show up in what we do, and it never feels like work to me. I legitimately love what I do. And I think that's the measure of something like this, is would you do it if money wasn't involved? And the answer to me is yes. So it's nice that money is involved in it, and it's not the reason that we do it every day. I hope that skimmed on the answer at least a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add to that, Ilan?
I think even before we started this, our mission of why we were doing it was really, really clear. The message may have changed. The media may have changed. Even the people that we're targeting has most certainly changed. The idea that we want to transform humanity, that was the big why. And so the passion comes from that. That's the reason that I wake up early and meditate. That's the reason I read the books that I do. That's the reason that I spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year educating myself and working with the best coaches in the world. I think purpose creates passion. And I think for a lot of people, they're trying to create what they have as passion, where inside they're not. They're not aligned to it. It's not what they're, put on this earth to do. The money is nice, the lifestyle is nice, this and that. And so they fake themselves into this passion. But I think the truest question, and what I love Guy said, is like, if money was off the table, if your lifestyle was off the table, if all that stuff was gone, would you still be doing the same thing that you're doing today?
I think for me, because, all right, my journey, I don't know if you know my journey, my journey, I lost my passion for quite a few years. And not from any other reason other than that, I guess my life got smaller, because I moved to Scotland because I wanted to give my son a more community-based life. We lived in London, I was in corporate, and I could see that I was doing 7 to 7. I could see that I was not going to see him. So I moved up here, and we've had 15, 16 years of an amazing life together, with my family here. But I got very disillusioned with the world, and I lost touch with my passion to somewhat. And it took the death of my father to make me recognize that I had actually lost that. And this podcast was the journey for me, helping me rediscover it. And now I've done that rediscovery phase, and now I'm in the phase of saying, hang on a minute, I'm going to share this now. That's what I want to do. I want other people to realize they can discover their passion. But what I notice is that a lot of people don't even know that they're passionate about or where that passion is. They have not a clue where to go and look for it. So if you were talking to someone who said, I'm not passionate, I'm not a clue, what would you say to them? How would you give them a pointer to go and find out where they're passionate?
That's beautiful. Yeah, I want to just preface this with, we say this a lot on many, many different medias, that self-worth to me is the number one issue on planet Earth. There's a lack of self-worth. So a lot of times your own lack of that will blind you to your own gifts. For example, like when someone gives you a compliment, and it's, you know, most of us don't know how to receive a compliment. There's nothing squirmier than watching a table of people sing happy birthday to a person, showering them with acknowledgement in that moment, than watching that person squirm in uncomfortability, right? Like, we can't receive our own greatness. It's like, seems to be this ongoing issue. So I think for a lot of people, when it comes to passion, they don't give themselves credit and credence for the things that they've actually mastered and are really good at. You know, whether you're just like a at-home master chef, or you know more about wines than all your friends, or you play the guitar really well, or you finger paint with the best of them, like whatever it might be for you, I find that people do their passion so effortlessly that it kind of like skips their consciousness that is what it is. So oftentimes I say to people, I'm like, what is it that you talk about with other people that you lose time? Like, you're having this conversation, suddenly 3 or 4 hours have passed by, and you're like, I can't believe all that time just went by. Okay, what was that conversation about? What did you get lost in? When you're at a bar with a friend and you close it down again, what were you talking about? What is it that you effortlessly pick up and practice every single day? I would say there probably lies a good clue to your passion. Now, a lot of people think, when they think about this question, they immediately attach it to money. So they're like, well, I love to play the guitar, but I can't make money doing that. So this can't be my passion. And it's like, it is. And in today's world, you can. You know, that may have been true 20 years ago. Just, you know, for anybody who's listening to this, and this is a foreign concept to you, I imagine your audience knows you. You know, there are roughly, I think, 3.5 or 3 billion people online today, something like that. And whatever it is that you're informed about or have experience with, and you have a desire to educate people on that passion, today, in today's world, that's a business. And if you can't find a few thousand people on planet Earth who are interested in what you're interested in and are interested in the way that you communicate it, you know, I find that hard to believe. If I gave you 5 to 10 years to figure that out, you could probably figure it out. And in today's reality, that is what business and commerce is turning into, because everything is going to be automated by robots anyway. So we might as well dig real deep into what it is that we care about and just say, hey, I just want to pass along this information and make some good money doing it. That's today's world. That's the business of today's world. So that's kind of where I would look at it.
That's a good answer. That's good. So I think I know the answer to this from you guys, but I'll say it anyway, because this is the next question. It's like, so we were all sold this idea that success in life was to get good grades at school, have some good friends, meet a nice partner, probably get married, buy a house together, have some kids, have a nice car, and that is success. What is success for you?
I love that you started this by saying, we've been all sold, which I totally agree. And then isn't it interesting though, that like, there are people that
still believe
that.
It. That's the joke of it.
And we coach many of them. And I can tell you they're some of the most unhappy people. And then they get a whole other thing read to them. Well, it's, you know, well, maybe you should get divorced. And maybe you should meet another woman, and maybe you should buy another car, and maybe you should live in another state or another country, or maybe you should, and it just, the maybes never stop. And then they just keep chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing. And it's like, at what point do you actually enjoy your life? Definition of success. I would say for me, it is a sense of peace, purpose and love in my life, where every area of my life that I look at, from being a father to a son to a brother, to the people that I get to work with, to my wife and my kids, where I feel so fulfilled and so happy by that which I currently have in my life. And yes, there's always room to desire more and that, but just having that ability to be with what you have and just be so in love and fulfilled and peaceful around all of it, to me, that's ultimate success.
Would you agree with that, Guy?
Yeah, I think for sure there's a lot of aspects to that for me too. And just to kind of add my own piece onto it, it's a deep inner sense of fulfillment. I think like most of us spent a long time trying to make myself feel a certain way by controlling the outside, by making the money, by, you know, having all those things that you described. And in my experience and worth working with tens of thousands of people, true fulfillment doesn't come from those things. There is like a traumatization to the human race. It's like, welcome to the human race. You've been traumatized. That when you discover from within that you can actually not just be with those parts, like get intimate with them and actually find that like there's a gift in everything that's ever happened to you. And this like kind of peace starts washing over you slowly over time as that like knot starts unknotting itself. To me, that's success. It's like, how do you feel about yourself on the inside is way more important than what you have on the outside.
Yeah. I think the success journey was part of my disillusionment in a way, because I'm a digital marketer and a marketer by trade. So I sell those services, and I got very disillusioned with my industry in terms of it's all about, well, how can we sell more? How can we sell people more? Whereas, and I think the biggest disillusionment hit me when I saw the article about the Club of Rome, which was a report that was written in the 1970s that showed that if we carry on working with a totally consuming society, there won't be a society after 2060. And global warming is part of that. So when I saw that, it's like, oh, you know, that's what really disillusioned me. So I now provide the same services, but I am selective as to where I provide them. And, you know, people have to be doing something of value. That's for me, it's a kind of my fault of success. But I really agree with you in terms of success. Mm-hmm. It's an inside job. It's not an outside job. It has to happen in the head. So guys, I've been really delighted to talk to you. And this has been one of those conversations that I think could roll and roll and roll, but these things can't. They have to have a top and tail, and they have to kind of come to kind of good endings. So is there anything that I haven't asked you guys that I should have done?
Good question. Yeah, next.
It's an open question, because the idea of it is if you walk away from this going, oh shit, I wish I'd said this. Here's your opportunity.
No regrets. It unfolds like it's supposed to. You know, I think more than anything, right, you can ask us the questions and we could pragmatically try to answer. Here's what we do. I would offer this audience to come check out our stuff, come check out our podcasts, come see us actually work with people. That'll probably give you a better sense of what we do. It's one thing to talk about a dance. It's another thing to watch the dance. So yeah, you know, in the future, if you ever want to come on and say, hey, this is something I'm dealing with, and me and Elon will walk you through some things that you can alter about that or look at in a different way, then that would be an experience.
How do you mean? Sorry?
I just mean like in the future, if we were to do this podcast again, and if you actually wanted us to come work with you on some area of life that was important to you, that would be something that I would love to expose your audience to.
That'd be fun. That might be fun.
Yep.
Oh, okay. We'll put that one down. I'll reserve that one. So my last question to all of my guests is for you, and I guess you're going to have to take it in terms of this, for you, what is the meaning of life?
Small question.
No. Wait, way to leave that for the last 1 minute soundbite.
You go ahead.
Well, look, the point is the meaning of life? We do all this stuff, but at the end of the day, what's it for?
I suppose to go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna take this in a slightly probably different direction. And this, you know, might step on certain people's belief systems. You know, my belief is that we are a soul that comes multiple times, gets dropped into different skin suits, and has a certain life experience. So for me, you know, life, the way that most people perceive it, isn't necessarily life. It's just one chapter in your ongoing book with hundreds and hundreds of chapters. And so for me, right now, the game of life is to learn and grow as much as I possibly can this time around, make the biggest impact that I possibly can this time around. And then when all is said and done, come back and do it all over again. I think people make life very significant and themselves very important. And I don't, I haven't found there to be a lot of truth or value in either of those outlooks. So yeah, I just think the more we get to understand that we're all here to have a part in a massive, massive cosmic dance that has been taking 13.8 billion years to get us to this very moment right here, right now, then the significance and all that stuff kind of goes out the window. And I think life becomes a lot more of a game of just introspection and inquiry. And, you know, how do you leave here being the best human being that you can possibly be?
It's interesting you say game, because my son's a big gamer. He loves his gaming, and that's, he spends a lot of his life and he wants to work in gaming. And I was observing the characters and playing, you know, him playing this game, and they're quite interactive. And it occurred to me at that moment is that the characters playing the game are being manipulated by my son and his friends, but they have no idea they're being played. How do I know I'm not in a game being played?
Elon Musk said that there's a very good possibility that this is all just a video game.
That's what occurred.
Well, that opened.
How would you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that opens a big can of worms. And you know, if you start looking at...
Well, you see, that's where coincidence will come in. Things like coincidence and things that kind of slot or drop in together. Like, well, how did that happen? And, you know, when you look at like things in nature where like things are so interconnected, like this spider relies on this plant to reproduce, and the two things have to work together, otherwise they'll both die. Like,
that's incredible.
How did that happen? You know, you kind of look at those things, you know, you look at those things, then there is something.
Well, something that we didn't point to and exactly what you're talking about is that there's an effortlessness to nature. And yet humanity seems to be very sure that life is very hard. And I think we would learn a lot if we leaned a little bit harder into relying on nature, and that there is, whether God or whether it's like a, you know, yourself in what you might call the future, but really like an oversoul that's consistently guiding you and setting information and creating these outcomes and circumstances to guide you towards this inevitable path. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think most people have left the ease that life can actually be unexplored. And they're very concerned with it being resilient and about survival. And I really don't think life has to be about that at all.
That's good. So Guy, do you have anything to add to the meaning of life? Or do you think that's enough for you?
Yeah, I would say stop asking people that question and derive your own meaning.
I didn't say I needed, I said the meaning for you. That's what I said in my question.
Yeah. And I also didn't mean you and you personally, Paul. I mean, like the royal sense of you is like, you know, everyone's trying to figure out the meaning of life. And I think the meaning is it probably doesn't have meaning. And that's the beautiful part, because now you get to derive your own. So it's like, you know, all of us come here as unwritten books. Yeah. And yet there's from the top, there seems to be an author who's trying to read a story and make everyone fit into one story. And we spend a lot of our time and energy trying to convince other people of our stories for no other reason than it makes us feel safer when people agree with our story. And if you get to drop that and just kind of let humanity explore itself in all the ways that it can be, it really is like this beautiful dance. And I think we're getting to that point of awareness, hopefully, and part of society anyway, that we're starting to see that there was no way that human beings were designed to be. Let's explore. Let's get creative. Let's let the genius out of the bottle, and let's, you know, let people be who they are. And I think there really is an opportunity, I hope, in our lifetimes for us to make a big transition away from kind of like you said, you know, there's no parameters to what it means to be a successful human being. So let's stop telling that story.
I guess from all the conversations I've had, and we're up to about 30 conversations now with different people, I guess the overriding perspective I'm beginning to get from people is life has absolutely no purpose whatsoever other than the purpose that you give it.
You are the purpose.
Yes, you are the purpose.
You being here is the purpose. Mm-hmm. You don't have to derive purpose from that.
But it's worth people thinking about it for themselves. That's the point. And that's one of the things about this podcast to me. If more people thought about their passion, their success, what it meant, and their purpose or the view of life in that respect, they would live happier lives. But
beautiful.
Anyway, that is, I think, a wrap, really. I think we've covered everything I had down on my bit of paper. So if people want to get in touch with you, obviously there will be links on the website. Is there anything people can do that there would be they need to look for when they come and look at your site and stuff? Yeah.
We're Satori Prime everywhere. So Facebook, Instagram, whatever other YouTube, we're Satori Prime. One suggestion I would make, if you enjoyed this conversation, Guy and I have a podcast called Personal Development Without the Fluff. We tend to like to focus on things that are practical and impactful in people's lives. So, that would be an awesome thing to check us out and what we're about, and would be a great, way to see the kind of training that we do.
Where did the name Satori Prime come from?
Well, Satori means a moment of sudden enlightenment. And I had read it in a book way back when. In fact, when I was in commercial real estate, we actually had two hedge funds named Satori Capital and Satori Investments. And when Guy and I were building our business back in the time, everyone was, you know, calling their business like Work With John Smith or, you know, something like that. And we kind of, the options were Work With Guy and Elon, which didn't have a good ring, or Work With the Ferdman Brothers, which had an even worse ring. And we wanted something that had a meaning. So we said the word Satori over and over and over again and just wanted some other name. And we had literally just come back from watching Transformers. And growing up, we loved Optimus Prime. It was, so we kind of said Satori Prime, like we said Optimus Prime. And I was like, wait, Satori Prime? And had this great ring. It wasn't until 3 months later, someone actually asked us what the name means. And I knew what Satori meant, but I'd never actually looked up Prime. I just thought Prime was kind of like number one, best, etc. And I look up Prime and it says a moment of greatest strength, vigor, or financial success in one's life. And both of us were just flabbergasted at how this name had found us.
That would have been a jaw drop moment.
It was, you know, it's like everything we've wanted, everything we want to provide people, right? And yeah. And somehow that name found us. It was just absolutely beautiful.
So more evidence that there aren't such a thing as coincidence. Exactly. Fantastic. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for your time this evening. It has been a wonder. Well, for you this
afternoon. All right,
afternoon,
brother. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Wonderful to talk to you. And I'm sure we will catch up again some way down the path.
Thanks so much, Paul.
All the best. And that was Life, Passion and Business with your host, Paul Harvey, and my guests, Guy and Ilan Furman. What a great program. I so enjoyed that conversation with you guys, and I am looking forward to perhaps catching up with them again. They did promise to do some live coaching with me on the program at some stage, and maybe we'll take them up on that option. So if you would like to catch up with Guy and Ilan, you certainly can. All the details you will find on the Life, Passion and Business website underneath this podcast. It only remains me to say thank you for taking the time to listen to these shows, because it's such a pleasure to create them, and I hope they bring you some useful content or information. And on that subject, I am always looking for interesting guests. If you think you have something to offer this program, please get in touch. If you visit the website, there is a guest section where you can just send me some details and let's talk. If you are enjoying this podcast series, please support the show by liking and sharing our content, maybe even submitting a review to iTunes. It all supports us to build the program and build our audience. Anyway, as I said, thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you later.